We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in you. We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 44 of The Art of Surrender. And today I'm joined by Josh Coolabau again for the third time. The week of UFC Fight Night, Rob Font versus Cody Garbrandt, and he's fighting this weekend. So, as usual, Josh Coolabau fights, we have a chat. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Just, starting to sink in. It's finally starting to sink in that we're in Vegas and we're finally getting the fight.
How do you actually feel? Because it's been 7 months, 8 months. I think it was December you last fought against Jourdain.
Yeah, it was October. Yeah, so October, like yeah, eight months. Yeah, and I'm feeling good, bro. I've never felt like this before. I'm weights on point. I've never been in this type of shape in my life. My whole fighting career, I've never been in this type of shape. So I'm just ready to go out there and perform. Yeah.
What do you think spurred that? Being in the key shape? Because I think the first time when you fought against Jalen Turner for the debut was on short notice, right? And up a weight. And then you come back and fought Jourdain. And of course, you're at featherweight in your weight class. You'd put in a full camp. And I know at that point you had gone more strength and conditioning. You had your nutrition with the fight dietitian, Jordy.
Yeah.
I think your boss at the electrician boss told you didn't have to work, could focus on training. Are we seeing more dividends following all that, or has anything?
Yeah, I think it's just doing consistently for a longer period. You know, like I only had a camp where I could just train for 10 weeks or 8 or 10 weeks. And now I just haven't stopped training. Like I've literally just been training still twice a day. Sometimes some sessions don't have to be hard, but I'm still in the gym. I'm basically living in the gym. So that it's just, yeah, I've just been in the gym working nonstop and, you know, I've got the right people around me. For this camp, I've actually picked up a striking coach, you know?
Okay.
It's fucking made a massive difference to everything. So my striking coach, my strength and conditioning coach, my head MMA coach and my training partners. And it's just like everything's coming together. And I feel like, yeah, everything's just coming together. And man, I just can't wait to show everyone the improvements. You know?
Yeah. Well, I saw, we have to talk about the previous fight. Haven't spoken to you. And I know it was, you know, like you said, in October.
Yeah.
I guess if we touch on that, I wouldn't mind finding out, like, I guess your thoughts on that, right? I know it's split draw.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it now? Like, how does it sit with you?
Still burns me because it's just one of those things that, like, you know, I could be, you know, like right now I feel like my back's against the wall because I'm one loss, one draw, and I still haven't had a win yet. You know what I mean? Where that could have been my first win and I could already be looking at my second win, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little bit annoying.
One of those, if this goes really badly, you know, if there's no guarantees of another fight, right?
Exactly.
If you'd been given the win, I mean, I believe you got 2-1 and that's why it was controversial. if you did get that win, this probably wouldn't be the same thing, right? But I mean, what does that really change for you, though? Because at the end of the day, you're going in there to win regardless of what situation you're in. And that's all pressure, right?
The biggest thing it's changed for me is the mindset for these fights. I'm, you know, as much as I thought I was looking for finishes, I am, like, looking for finishes now. Before, I used to play a lot of, point scoring, thinking of it like that. But, man, I just can't leave it in somebody else's hands to decide my future, you know what I mean? And some of these judges are just so incompetent. Like the other week, there was a Korean fighting somebody. Like I think the guy's name was Park or something. And this one judge, like it was a I watched the fight. It was a complete domination. the Korean guy destroyed this guy. One judge scored it 30-25. Okay. One judge, another judge scored it, I think, 29-28. And then another judge scored it 28-28. So, something like 28-28. So, one judge sees it as a complete domination, which I thought it was. And then another judge scores it, okay, that guy just won. And then another guy says, no, that was a draw. Like, how are these three judges giving it, like, yeah.
It was the same thing in the women's fight too. I think it was at Caitlin Chookagian on the weekend. I didn't think she won that fight.
Didn't they give her three rounds? Three rounds?
Yeah, it was like a 30-27 one way, a 30-27 the other way, and then like a in between.
What the fuck, man?
Yeah, it is an issue, and it's not even just like we're referring to your fight is what brought this up, but even the commentators are talking about it a lot now. And sometimes I think, I don't know if it's just me being a fan, but sometimes I think the fans are more educated on who's winning the fight and what's happening than some of the judges based on the results that we see consistently.
I think so too. I think there's some fans out there that are more educated on what's going on than some of these refs. I feel like I know for a fact a few of these refs are just boxing refs. Like, I think, yeah, majority of them are boxing judges. So how are you going to judge an MMA fight if you're a boxing judge?
And the UFC's not in charge of who the judges are, right? Isn't that the commission, yes, wherever the fight
card? Commission. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly. An issue. It's an issue. But that's why you hear people, every single fight card, people are complaining about it. Whether it's the commentators, DC and all that, or the Instagram, you know, people commenting he didn't win that fight.
And that's why you can't leave it in the hands of these judges, you know. How are you going to let a guy, decide your future when they completely don't understand the sport, you know? Mm. One judge gives it wrong, you know, you're looking at getting cut from the UFC, or, you know, one judge gives it wrong. That changes your whole career, your whole life.
Mm.
One judge, and there's no consequence on their part. What happens to them if they score it? They're like completely stupid. Like they don't get fined. There's no, what happens to them? Nothing. Nothing happens to them.
Mm. Yeah.
Honestly, what happens to them?
I don't know. I have no idea. They're held accountable in any way, shape, or form.
No. No, exactly. Mm. Exactly. I still remember, I don't know who was commentating, but they said they looked at a judge, and I think it was Joe Rogan said it, and he was looking at the guy judging, and the guy with judging was looking at his phone for the first minute of the fight, first minute of a round. That's a whole minute you just missed out on, just what, not paying attention. Yeah. You know?
And that's in MMA. that's what, you can't look away at all, let alone at for all. A minute, especially exactly. When you're the exactly. one deciding on who wins the fight.
Exactly.
You got to be just as engaged as the fighters themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So I know that's disappointing, and you probably expressed that to everyone and you're probably sick of it, but I felt like it would be, to not bring it up would be overlooking something that was, you know, needed to be mentioned. Anyway, that's in the past. You still got your win bonus, right?
Yeah,
you both did. That was, and by the way, man, that was a sick fight. It was a good showing, even in a draw. Even if that wasn't a split draw, and instead they edged him the decision, it was still a fantastic fight, and you showed a lot of yourself. So I don't think it was a fight that loses you any credibility in their eyes. I wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think that's one thing that I got out of it, was that, like, knowing that Jordan has fought some good guys, you know, and then for me to be able to take it to him, and majority of people thinking that I won, it gave me a confidence boost. So, yeah.
What was the talk like with the guys backstage? Because I was watching I think it was the Dan Hardy's, like, Raptors MMA YouTube channel or something that week, and he was talking about being excited about watching that fight and thinking that you're a really hot prospect, one to look out for. Obviously, you know, you see the big journalists and that, like, unless you have a massive showing where it's like a breakout fight, you might end up on the Helwani show on the Monday or whatever. But I noticed that guys like Dan Hardy and that, he was already recognizing your potential and what you have to offer.
Yeah, there wasn't much, to be honest, there wasn't much to talk about, like,
nah.
I don't know, no, to be honest, not really. Not really, like, that, like, we have fighter meetings, right? So we have, like, a fighter meeting with, like, all the commentators just so that they have, like, some background knowledge and, you know, things to talk about while, you know, sometimes the fight might get a bit stale and there's nothing to really talk about. So they get info from you and, you know, so they want to talk about stuff. And, yeah, for some reason, Dan's always like, had only good things to say about me. So I don't know whether he's watched some of my fights or why he kind of puts me up there. But, you know, I appreciate stuff like that. It's Dan Hardy, you know. So it's a,
yeah, I know,
it's a big deal as well. So for him to, you know, put me up there and give me, you know, compliments and stuff like that. So I appreciate that stuff. But, no, it was he's just always been nice, you know, nice towards me.
Mm. Speaking of the fighter meetings, we're not privy to them, right? They're private, but we've in the last few weeks we've seen that, you know, the what's his name, Josh Favier and Diego Sanchez.
Yeah, Diego. Yeah.
Did you listen to those?
No, I didn't get to listen to those. I just feel sorry for Diego and the way shit turned out for him. Like, yeah.
Is what happens. And even like recently there, even other fighters, you know, Souza on the weekend broke his arm. I was listening to the commentators and his walkout. He was opening a jiu-jitsu academy, which was due to open after the fight. And I feel like he was setting himself up to teach after retirement. And now he's blown out his humerus and God knows how long he's going to be out for. But
it's the sport we play. That's the sport we play.
Yeah. So if we move to today and I guess this fight camp, how has things been for you?
Man, like I said before, I've never been in this type of shape in my life. I feel like just the consistency of training, you know, the people around me, the training partners I have now has just been next level, you know, from my striking to my jiu-jitsu to my strength and conditioning to my nutrition to, you know, even my personal life is just so much better, you know. So I just feel like a completely different person. And, I just can't wait to go out there and just, you know, show everyone the hard work that's been put in.
Mm.
Everyone, yeah, just I can't wait. You know?
And it's even people you're training with. I saw obviously, I don't know if you trained with Jamie Malarkey for this camp, but you have a lot previously. And he had a fight not so long ago where he had a good showing, KO first round, looked the goods.
Yep.
I think he got a bonus for it. So it sounds like your whole little tribe of people that you deal with are finding success now. So it shows you guys are doing something right.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Jamie has helped me out. He had to take a few weeks off after the fight. I think he did hurt himself. But he did come in and he did give me a hand getting ready for this. And, even he was saying to me, like, how much I've improved and how much sharper I look and, you know, just where my whole mental state is. So for him to give me props like that and for him to have a showing the way he did, like, it just gives me more of a confidence, you know, more confidence to go out there and do exactly what he did.
Mm. So what are your thoughts on the upcoming fight this weekend and the opponent, just how you feel about it?
Man, I'm excited. It's hard to get excited for a guy you don't know too much or a guy that doesn't really have any, like, how do I put it? Like, that fans are excited for because they don't know him.
Yeah.
It's like, but I know these Chinese guys, they come ready, they come fit, you know, they come strong. So I'm expecting a tough fight, but, you know, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to make it look easy. I'm expecting a tough fight, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make it look easy. So that's what I'm planning.
I was in my research. I saw someone on YouTube talking about him being bigger than you, but I don't know if Wikipedia can't be trusted or even Tapology and stuff. But I thought from what I saw, you were taller and had bigger reach than him. It seemed like you had the physical attributes. So I don't know what the correct thing is or not.
So I've already ran into him. I ran into him at the UFC PI twice now. And really? Just from standing next to him, you know, walked past him, gave him the little head nod, you know, like good to see you, hope you're good, sort of head nod, you know, like standing next to him, seeing that he's a former lightweight, he doesn't seem like he's like, I don't know, he doesn't seem, who knows, maybe he feels like a lightweight, maybe he feels like, you know, some fucking
got that
crazy strength. Yeah, yeah.
You're just going to get manhandled by Khabib on the weekend.
Exactly. Exactly. Who knows, man? But he from standing next to him, I'm taller than him. I've got a longer reach than him. And like, if he's going to have physicality over me, man, I feel like I've grown so much in that department, in my strength and conditioning. Like, my body's completely different. Like, just my whole frame and just the muscle that I've put on is just, you know, next level now, so.
You feel ready?
Oh man, I'm ready. Like I said, I'm ready for this, bro. Trained hard for this, and he's not taking this away from me.
Mm. So I'm not sure if you want to release this on my humble pod, but because I don't think it's going to go that far. But do you mind me asking, what do you weigh now? How's it going? And how do you plan on winning?
What was the first one?
Well, like, how's the weight going? What did you arrive in Vegas at, and where are you now? What are you at now?
I won't say, but like, come on, bro, come on.
He's just angled the camera down. He's got shredded 8-pack, and he's showing it to me. You can't.
Come on, like, I'm on weight, bro. Don't worry about my weight. My weight is good. Does my face look like I'm sucked in? Do I look like I'm depressed and sad?
No, you actually look real good.
I'm still good, bro. I'm good.
Look, man, I'm having nachos tonight, and I need a grapes and cheese. So if you wouldn't mind, just...
You got dirty laundry too? You got some dirty laundry too? Get them
Josh, man, I'm a bit concerned because I woke up the other day, went into my Instagram, and you sent me 3 photos of yourself in my stuff, and now you're showing me your abs. I'm starting to get concerned.
I got a thing for you, bro.
The photos you sent me, I looked at them and I was like, surely one was enough, but I've got 3. I've got different poses.
I don't know. Maybe you wanted a different pose. I don't know.
Well, I was thinking,
I'm just trying to help a brother out.
I was thinking to myself, are these photos for me to share, or are they private? Because like, you've inboxed them to me, but I was like, if they're private, it's like, I don't know if Josh should be sending me half nudes of himself.
You post whatever you want to post, bro.
For people, if they're not understanding, I sent you some of my merch. So I hope you enjoy it, man. And hope it fits well. And well, it looks like it does, but I hope it's working.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? The UFC won't mind if you just do a quick change and throw my shorts on and walk out in those?
Oh, yeah. I wish, bro. I don't know. I haven't seen the UFC stuff yet, so I don't know if I can compare the two. But, man, right now, I'm loving the orange, bro. The orange stands out. Like, it's that orange makes my arms look bigger.
It does look good, doesn't it?
the orange gives it that, you know, like someone walks on the mat. It's like, oh, shit, that looks dope, you know, or like, you know, how you just like, when you see someone in fresh gi, you see someone in fresh gi, oh shit, it's a fresh gi. Yeah. Same with this Rashi and the orange, you know, it stands out. So it's sick. I appreciate it, bro. Thank you.
You're welcome, man. No problem. So you said you haven't been given your fighter kit. So you've already got a Reebok kit or even a couple of Reebok kicks, and you're about to get a full Venom kit. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, it is. I can't wait to see what it's like. Maybe Reebok is better, but I don't know. Wait till we see it.
Mm. Well, do you get to choose your colors?
The color of the shorts, yeah. The color of the shorts, but not
are you going with?
Black.
Black, okay. Yeah. Any reason, or you just, that's just?
Well, they gave me some other colors, and I was just like, nah, those colors.
Yeah.
They're bad luck.
what colors? Bad luck?
They're just bad luck colors. One of my students, he's like a fan, like a diehard fan. He's a very talented kid too. He said to me, don't ever go green. Green in the Venom is cursed. And I was like, oh, you've been looking into the colors and stuff. And he was like, yeah. And then he started dropping facts on me, like Conor McGregor was wearing green, lost. And then just started naming all these fights, lost, lost, this guy lost. Like, all right, shit, I'll avoid the green, damn.
And then so like they've offered you green. Green's your favorite color. You've got nothing against it, but your mate's in your head, so you go with black instead.
Yeah. Oh, you can't. You can never go wrong with black, bro. You can never go wrong with black.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say that. How was the flight over, and what's Vegas been like for you? Like, because is it different with COVID and things, or is it opened up a bit more and you're able to get out and stuff?
It's still pretty full on with the COVID. Like, you're still able to, like, we got here on Friday and, like, man, I was pretty, like, paranoid with the whole COVID. Like, I would fucking, you know, sanitize my hands every fucking couple of minutes. I wouldn't touch my face. I'd leave my mask on, you know, especially going from airport to airport, because we had a transit from San Francisco to Vegas. So we went from Sydney to San Fran, then San Fran to Vegas.
Right.
And I was just paranoid, you know, I just avoided everybody and just like I didn't want any reason to not have this fight, you know. Like, I've already waited 8 months. Imagine getting COVID and then having to wait even longer. So
were you wanting to get in sooner?
Yeah, I was planning on being on the same card as Volkanovski and Jamie Malarkey. I wanted to get on that same card as those boys because we were all training together, and yeah, it would have been sick to be a part of that card, but you know, shit happens.
When's Volkanovski to fight? Do you know the date of that? It got pushed back, right?
Yeah, it's been pushed back. Yeah, because it was meant to fight. They were meant to fight in March, and then COVID happened, and then COVID got to Alex, and then yeah, pulled out. I had to pull out because of COVID. So,
I
don't know when they're fighting next. So.
I don't even know. I could look. I think it might be in June, maybe. I don't even know, but you fly home and you'd have to quarantine for 2 weeks, right?
Yes. Yep.
Where are they putting you? Do you know?
Depending on wherever, you know, depending on wherever they decide. Because last time they literally just chucked us on a bus and then just drove us and we went, didn't know where the fuck we were going. So, and then we just rocked up at a hotel. Yep. Jump straight in, get in there. That's it.
And well, how did you? What are you thinking about the 2 weeks of quarantine coming up this time after having done it once already?
To be honest, I'm not looking forward to it, but you know, this is what we have to do. You know, my cornermen know, my coaches know that this is the part of it. So it is what it is. But fuck, I really hope that they could make it. You know, why does it have to be 2 weeks? Why can't it be like, you know, a couple of days? A bit annoying. But.
Yeah. It is, but yeah, if you want to do what you want to do, right?
Exactly.
I was listening to, you know, Beneil Dariush obviously just beat Ferguson on the weekend, and he was talking about, but you know, he something about God and faith and stuff. But he was going on about, you know, he's in service all the time, but in the octagon, he gets 15 minutes to be selfish and completely just free. And you know, you understand what I'm saying? Do you feel like yourself?
100%. I feel like after all the hard work and all the training and all the discipline, like I don't know who explained it really well. I think it was John Jones. Like, he feels like when he's like training, he's always like has to stick to guidelines and like be safe and not hurt your training partners, and even in sparring, you're going hard, but you're still like, you know, not giving it your 100, but when you're in the cage, you know, you get to express yourself 100%. You're able to let, you know, you're able to unshackle the chains and feel like you're just free now. So it definitely does feel like that, especially when you train so hard for a fight and you're just like, yes, all right, now we're here. Now it's just time to let it go. So yeah, I 100% agree with Beneil.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I thought I wondered what people what. Other fighters' takes would be on that, because it's just an interesting thing, because it's an environment like stepping in there to fight like that is an environment that not many people understand.
And that's why a lot of like family friends still wonder why I fight. Like, even when I first started, like you can't explain the rush, the feeling that you get. There's honestly nothing like it. That's why I do it. It's like, this is my drug, you know, this is my high. You know, this is what gets me up in the morning. This is like, you know, I'm addicted to that feeling. That's what the feeling that I'm always chasing. You know, there's nothing that can really explain it.
Yeah. It
sounds a bit junky. Yeah. But like, honestly, there's there's nothing that can really explain that feeling. It's like a mix of everything. It's a mix of like, you know, you're nervous, you're scared, you know, but you're excited. And then after it's all done, you're like just satisfied, you're relieved, you know, like you're, I don't know. There's just like, yeah, you see, I'm literally just lost for words to really try to explain the feeling, because you just overcome with so many different emotions. Like you just trained your ass off, you know, you dieted, you had to cut weight, you know, you put your training partners, you know, through hell as well, your coaches through hell, they have to deal with it emotionally as well. It's like, it's just full on.
Are you able to express it all, how the, I understand the emotions you're saying, but are you able to express it all, how they, the emotions fluctuate from the walkout to the start, and then during the fight, does it get to a point where there's the nerves completely gone and it's just,
man, free?
Yeah,
I think that's the best word, is like free. Like in your head, you've dreamt about fighting this one dude for the last 2 months or however long your camp was, you know. You're nervous, you're scared, you know your coach is putting so much time and effort, you don't want to disappoint. And on top of that, you know your family members are watching at home. You know that, you know, that it just all adds up. And then when you finally get in there and you just realize, I've been doing this my whole life, I've been training like this. To me, this is nothing new. Fighting is nothing new. And then to be able to just go out there and just let it all out, let it all just go, you know what I mean? Just, free is the word that to explain it, is like freedom. You feel free that you're not worried about what just happened 10 minutes ago. You're not worried about what's going to happen 5 minutes after the fight. The only time you're worried, the only time you're in your present, you're free in your present. You have to worry about what you're about to do just then. Those next 15 minutes or these next 25 minutes, that's all you care about. You're not worried about, oh, I just had an argument with my girlfriend, or I forgot to pay my phone bill, or, you know, you don't think about like that stuff. You're just present in that 15 minutes or that 25 minutes, you know? And that's why it's like hard to explain it, because it's just,
well, I know it's definitely not the same, like as being on the mats training jiu-jitsu wise, like we don't experience the same kind of nerves and threat and physical danger and all that. But I feel that the
nerves are very similar
in the moment too.
Yeah, I feel the nerves of jiu-jitsu comps, they do get you going, because you do understand that as much as they call it the gentle art, this guy is still trying to break my limbs, still trying to hurt me and try to put me unconscious, you know what I mean? So you get that nerves of like, you know, you're putting yourself at risk, and yeah, that's a big thing, you know, to know that you're putting your body at risk. So I feel it's similar. I feel like it's similar, but obviously it's not as full on as getting an elbow to the head while you're on the ground, or, you know, a full blown knee in the face in the clinch or some shit like that. So
yeah. So what same walkout song?
Secret.
It's got to be, always.
Secret.
Okay, all right.
That's secret.
Keep that close to your chest, eh? So how do you plan on celebrating in Vegas? Are you allowed to get, once the fight's over, do they unshackle you from all the restrictions and stuff with COVID, like the UFC?
I don't know, to be honest, but I'm looking to drink a fuckload of beers. And because we're allowed to, we're going to do that there too and eat a lot. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it right if we just go to the toilet real quick?
Yeah. Go ahead. Are you good? Do you have time or do you?
No, I'm good. You can keep talking. I'm just going to be off screen. Can you hear me fine?
Yeah, I can hear you, Josh. Just try not to go straight into the water, mate. Bounce it off the bowl so it doesn't come through to the body.
Yeah, I got it. Don't you worry.
For the listeners at home, when you come on the Art of Surrender podcast and you tune in and listen to this one, ladies and gentlemen, I actually get fighters on. You get the full experience here. You know, we're going through the weight cut. Obviously, he's water loading, so he needs to urinate a lot. And this is not something that you get to experience on many other podcasts. People taking pee breaks to mid episode because they got a fight coming up.
Yeah, well, I hope they do get to experience it, because it's funny. Water loading's a funny thing, is that you drink so much water that you hate it, and then by the time you're cutting the weight, you wish you had water. So yeah,
the play on emotion.
That's it. Well, like at the beginning, you're drinking, you know, close to 8 to 10 liters, and then by the end of it, you're drinking nothing and you're dehydrated to shit. And then, you know, then you're wishing you had some water. So, yeah, mix the nourishment with the water.
What's the I know you were talking about your previous weight cut. After the weight cut, what's the go-to this time? What are you looking forward to eating?
In and out.
Or is it a mid-weight cut thing? What you want will present itself to you. You'll start craving it when you're really hungry.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm such a weirdo, man. Like, I like weird food. Like I most people would cringe. I mean, like crave, sorry, would crave like pizza, pasta, burgers. Me, I crave like oats with fruit and honey, or like an acai bowl, you know, or like an almond croissant with a big ass coffee. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking weird like that. So
how do you take your coffee?
The almond milk, no sugar.
Just an almond milk cap or something, no sugar.
Yeah, almond milk cap. Yeah.
Not bad. That's some splash of honey if you want to sweeten that up without putting sugar in. Honey will help.
Yeah, honey does help. It's a slower release of energy too, so gets you going. Helps with weight cuts when you're struggling too, so it's good.
Yeah. So I don't know how much more time you want to have, but I wouldn't mind asking you about your thoughts on the fight card that you're on, and if there's any other fights you yourself are looking forward to seeing, and even just, I guess, the featherweight division itself, where things are looking.
Oh, man.
You like to do things go well for you this weekend.
Well, I'm going to enjoy that the other featherweight fight on this card, which is Ricardo Ramos versus Billy Algeo.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be a scrap. And then another fight that I think is going to be a scrap is my boy Justin Tafa. I think he's going to knock this dude clean out.
Yeah.
And then obviously the main event, you know, the main event is.
Yeah, yeah, Rob Font, Cody Garbrandt.
It's going to be, these guys are going to strike, you know, these guys are the higher level. So I'm excited to even just be a part of that, watch that. I wish I could stay there and be able to watch it, but they'll probably send us back to the hotel.
But, really? But you can get it on the hotel TV?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You probably got to pay for it too late, which is fucked. Because you're fighting on the fight card, then you got to go upstairs and buy the pay-per-view.
No, but it's I got UFC Fight Pass, so it's all right.
All right. That's right. But it's
on Fight Pass. Yeah, it's a fight night.
But if it was a pay-per-view, would you have to pay for it?
I better hope not. Dana, come on, G.
Yeah, I know, right? I reckon you should ask for an extension on that 75k bonus. If you have a good win and you reckon it's bonus worthy, you should call them out on an extension.
I will, bro. I'm saying it, bro. That's worth 75, bro. Don't worry, 50. That's worth 75.
You gave them away last weekend. This was the best one of them.
Oh, that's worry about, you know, putting this guy out in devastating fashion. So
yeah, when it happens, it'll happen.
That's it.
What's your thoughts on the featherweight division at the moment?
Man, it's from top to bottom, it's stacked, bunch of killers, bro. Like, just the stacked division. I love it. Man, there's just a lot of good fights to be had, you know. So hopefully we get through this one, sweet. You know, come out with a hand raised. Hopefully no injuries, and then. Hopefully, we can start looking at booking the next one, and then start getting these fights. You know, these fights that I want. So,
How far away? So things all go to plan for you, right? If it all works out, you don't get hurt. Do you think you're a fight or two away from wanting top 15, or would you want that straight away if all goes well here? What are you thinking?
Oh wow, top 15 straight away. To be honest, whatever the UFC decide, I would like, but. Top 15 is a big ass straight away, but I'd like to get a few fights before we fight the top 15. Like, I'm only 26 years old, and some of those guys in the top 15 have been fighting the UFC for, you know, as long as my whole MMA career. So I'd like to get some more experience in there, and then But there's definitely a few guys that are around my age or around my experience that I'd like to fight. So, you know, I'd actually like the Jourdain fight, if you're asking. I'd like the Jourdain fight. Chase Hooper. Who else?
Chase Hooper, bro. He can't fight Chase Hooper. He's ducking you, man. He is ducking
you. Yeah, no response from him, bro. No response. Zero. And then the one time I signed my contract and it's all said and done, official contract signed. Then a week later, I find out he signed the contract. Wow.
Yeah. I think that was me too. I send you a message saying Hooper's ducking you. You've signed a fight, so now he's got one too.
Well, I feel like that's one of those things that maybe he'll grow a set and then we can do it. But yeah, Charles Jourdain would be good. Charles Jourdain, Chase Hooper, Cub Swanson, all these guys.
That'd be a sick one.
Yeah, man. I'd love
Cub Swanson would be that'd be a good guy to get to fight against. Just say
yeah, because he's because he's a legend of the sport, bro.
Yeah,
because he's a legend of the sport.
Oh, he's one of my favorite fighters.
Yeah, for sure, he's one of mine too. So, you know, he's a killer Cub.
Catch these hands, but
yeah.
So, what do you reckon? If you get the win and goes well, what call out Jourdain?
Probably Hooper first. Charles. I can't get Hooper then. Yeah, most likely Jourdain would be good.
I'm looking up. I think he just he's had a fight since your one, eh?
Yeah.
So you guys fought on October 4th and then March 13th. So what's that? 2 months ago, he fought against Marcelo Rojo and won via TKO.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
My apologies, people. I ran out of disk space on my MacBook and the podcast cut out and stopped recording. But look, not a problem. That was the end of it. We had a good chat. So Josh, appreciate your time, mate. Thank you for jumping back on again. And everybody who is going to tune in, I hope you enjoy it as well. Thanks, guys.